While most folks in the U.S. think of Easter as just a silly holiday filled with eggs, candy, and bunnies, people all around the world observe Easter as a hardcore celebration of death and resurrection.
Today, we take a look at outrageous Easter celebrations from around the world, from the Philippines' self-flagellation and crucifixion reenactments to San Francisco's Hunky Jesus contest, held by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Plus, happy drag anniversary to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The campy San Francisco activist queens celebrate their 40 years this week.
Anti-gay former Republican Congressman Aaron Schock shocks no one with his hands allegedly down some guy's pants.
According to a new study, women's faces hide infidelity better than men's.
And Drag Race's Silky Ganache pays tribute to Cooking with Drag Queens T.S. Madison and wins big.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. After being cooped up all winter, the whole world has gone mad. They're ready to hatch those eggs, eat the candy, and have themselves a good time.
Buzz around like bees.
If you live in a city, folks, you know the crime goes up when the temperature goes up. Even though it's beautiful outside, the crime goes up.
Well, especially here in Chicago, where we have these brutally cold winters, and then it's like that first weekend in spring, it's like a murder fest, because people, you know, they're holding on to those resentments all winter long, and finally, spring is here, and they're ready to explode.
If my neighbor parks in my parking spot one more time, I swear to God, I want to break their window, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly Someone throws a brick in somebody's window and it's wee, 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 wee.
Luckily, we had, you know, no misadventure like that today. We wanted to go to our neighbor's house who invited us over for Easter. We had a nice Easter brunch and we made Easter bonnets.
We have the most amazing neighborhood, folks. Mark and I live here in Chicago, Illinois, and we managed to hit the sweet spot of urban decadence and gay neighborhood fun. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood we live in Andersonville is really just this wonderful, diverse mix of people. Some people say it's like, you know, it's old man Andersonville, but I think we live in one of the most beautiful, fantastic neighborhoods in the world. And you know why?
Why?
Because we're here.
That's true. We've been here for a while.
Yeah.
It's kind of our anniversary, too, because I met you on Easter.
I know. You said, how do you do? And I said, I do. And you said, me too. And then you came over to my place, mm-hmm. and we, you know, decorated each other's eggs. And the rest is his story.
It's history. But then I was like, spend the night. And I'm like, I can't spend the night. I have people coming over for Easter brunch tomorrow.
Now, in your family, in your culture, you're hardcore Catholic, East Coast. Pittsburgh, I'm sorry, Erie, Pennsylvania. Yes. I'm like married to this guy.
Mid-Atlantic States.
I don't know where he's from, but.
Yes.
And I'm from Puerto Rico. We went to an Episcopalian church when I was a kid, and I thought Easter was a lot of fun because, like Halloween, you got a lot of candy. Mm-hmm. But that Christianity has always been this kind of like the way the most Americans think about Hinduism, for example, and they look at like the elephant god with a trunk. And the blue guy who's, you know, hugging this other lady. And they're like, you know, the religion looks a little exotic and strange and mystical to them. So does Catholicism. So does Christianity does to me. And, you know, when it came to Easter, I was be like, that's pretty punk. That's pretty hardcore. You're having like a zombie religion where your Messiah dies. And on Easter, he comes back to life like a jack in the box. Mm-hmm. And you have candy and eggs. It's fun. It's delightful. And
the story of the resurrection is, you know, it goes back into the old Bible, you know, into the Old Testament, where the Jewish people, they would take the sins of the community and they would put all the sins on a goat, right? Mm. And then they would kill the goat, hence the term the scapegoat. And so Jesus is the scapegoat of our sins. He's the guy who came and he died for our sins and gives us the promise of resurrection and life everlasting.
Talk about an ultimate death drop, honey.
You know,
his pain is your gains.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a grisly holiday, but it's really the highest holiday there is in the Catholic. It's, you know, it's bigger than Christmas.
And that's probably why, you know, Christians and Catholics and like to woo over children's interest with the Easter bunny and and baby animals and, you know, things that kids like, candy.
Well, you know, you have to, you know, a lot of these things are just pagan traditions. So, like, the baby animals, they were born in the springtime. Easter happens in the springtime. So you'd have this kind of thing. You'd have an overabundance of eggs, or you'd have ham for your Easter dinner because you slaughtered the ham in the fall and then it cured all winter and it was basically the only meat you had available to eat. And so you'd have a big Easter celebration.
Ham.
Ham. I love ham.
Ham. Shout out to Tom Rubnitz, RuPaul, and Lady Bunny in Pickle Surprise.
Plop the ham thusly.
Where's the pickle?
That's the surprise.
Ooh, it's in my butthole.
It took me a long time to figure out that that's where the pickle was.
Oh, it was a euphemism for, you know,
she stuck the pickle up her ass.
Oh,
look at the look on her face. If she's not smuggling a pickle in her rectum, who is?
Well, if you like pickles, check out our latest episode of Cooking with Drag Queens on YouTube. It's it's sitting there snugly on the internet next to Pickle Surprise. And T.S. Madison is there shoving pickles with peppermint sticks down her throat in one gulp.
It's a little South Side treat. So you just take yourself a dill pickle, you bite off the tip, and then you stick a peppermint stick down the middle of it, and then just chomp away. You will be surprised how delicious
spicy.
It is. And different. It's just such a weird taste in your mouth. You're just like, what is happening here? You like it, but you also hate it, but you like it. You know, it's an interesting, really kind of flavor. If you're one of those people that likes like Jolly Rancher pickles or Kool-Aid pickles, you'll definitely like this.
And if you go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/feastoffun, you can see Mark and comedian Meredith Ketchel making Easter basket cocktail.
Yum, yum, yum.
That, unlike a lot of cocktail recipes that use those Peeps marshmallow bunnies and eggs, rabbits and stuff. Yeah. This actually tastes good.
Yes, it tastes good. But we did decorate the glass with Peeps.
With a Peep.
Yes, with a
Peep.
It's
garnished. Yes. Yet.
And also we had some green coconut grass for like the Easter basket.
And if you heat up a jelly bean just right with a hot knife, you can create a little cut in it that you can hang it on the edge of a martini glass. And it's really that I love, you know, adult drinks that look like childhood favorites. It brings back, it reminds you of your happy days when you used to go look for candy and eggs in someone's yard with ants crawling all over it.
We used to always hide eggs for Easter. And one time somebody hid an Easter egg inside of like this, it was a hurricane glass.
Yeah.
You know, that was covered because they put like straws and, you know, flowers inside of it. And we forgot about it. And then like a month later, we saw it and sitting in there and it had erupted into like this giant mold explosion. Like the whole thing had to be thrown out because there was so much mold coming from it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like my parents went to sort of a bilingual church because they really wanted us to learn how to speak English. And
they did a pretty good job.
Look at me. Yeah, I didn't grow up speaking this language. You'd be surprised. And what I was always pissed off as Americans when they celebrated Easter, they took the laziest route and they would boil eggs and slip these plastic wrappers on it that would shrink wrap around the edge. And
those
I was just like,
novelty for a
and
while.
I'm like, that is so lame and boring. What we did as a kid, we would make cascarones, which is more of a Mexican tradition, but you would hollow out the egg by poking a hole in the top and the bottom and then poking the yolk through and blowing out the innards of the egg. So you just get a shell, and then you would fill it with a confetti and then put a little tissue paper, glue it back and smash it on somebody's head.
How
it
violent.
Gorgeous, honey. And we had so much fun as kids running around the backyard, smashing confetti-filled eggs on each other's heads.
Did your mom bring that because she was raised in Mexico?
I guess so. I'm trying to figure out, and I have to ask my other Puerto Rican friends, Lola Von Miramar, are you listening? Did you guys celebrate Easter with, you know, with cascarones, with hollow eggs and they're dyed and stuff? I want to know.
Call us.
Now, when I was a little kid, my very first Easter with my sister, we were making the eggs together, and I got confused, and I thought you were supposed to suck instead of blowing.
Ooh.
As I got eggs inside my mouth, and I was like, this does not taste very good.
Were you better at sucking or better at blowing?
I'm very good at blowing.
Are you going to tell the story about the Christmas or the Easter chicks you got?
Oh my God. So, and also in Puerto Rico, on the, and more of the central of the island and the south side of the island, a lot of flea markets have these wonderful baby chicks. Because, and folks, to celebrate the spring and Easter, do not buy kids any pets. It's a terrible way to celebrate. Mm. But we were like, you know, we're 10 years old, whatever.
It was a different time.
And you go to the flea market and there are pink baby chicks, bright orange baby chicks, bright green baby chicks, bright blue baby chicks. And they're cheep, 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 cheep all over the place. And we're like, please, can we have one? So it was me, my brother, and my two sisters. My brother got a blue one. I got a green one. My older sister got a orange one, and my little sister got a pink one.
Mm. Were you jealous she got the pink one?
I thought the pink one was the most interesting one, and I was right. Mm. So we took those baby chicks home, and it was like, you know, it was the opposite of Easter. On the first day, one died. On the second day, the other one died. On the third day, the orange one died. And on the fourth day, the pink one was left with cadavers all around it.
Oh.
And just, you know, and I think that pink one killed all the other ones.
Well, did you guys have feed for it?
We fed it, yeah.
Were you keeping them warm at night?
Well, it's Puerto Rico, honey. It's tropical weather, you know. We had it in a box in the backyard.
Well, that's probably it. I think you need like a light bulb and incubator, right?
Let me tell you, that little baby chick grew up to be this giant, badass, mean rooster named Flower. Why did we call him Flower? Because he ate flowers.
Mm.
And every morning it would screaming in the neighborhood. We live in an urban environment, you know.
But that's not unusual for Puerto Rico to hear chickens everywhere.
It's not unusual, but it is like you're pushing your neighbor's goodwill.
Mm.
And so we decided we need to do something about this rooster. So my father built a giant cage for it. Because it was like attacking people. I don't know if you guys ever dealt with roosters.
They can be mean. They'll chase you.
This thing is about like half the size of a dog. You know, it's a big ass animal. And from a kid's perspective, it's looking at you right in the eye. And it's going to fuck you up.
Some old man in Florida was just killed by a bird, a cassowary.
Yeah.
He fell down. And it was like, now's my time to attack, and killed him, ripped him open.
It was like a scene from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't fuck with those birds. They're dinosaurs in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
And so one summer we went to visit my mom's family in Texas, and we left our rooster Flower with our uncle Kookie. And yes, he is exactly what he sounds like, Kookie. But it's, you know, not like Cookie Monster. Mm-hmm. It's short for Carlos.
Did he take good care of the rooster?
He took very good care of it. We got back and he asked my mother called him and said, how's the rooster? And he said, oh, Doña Patricia, he made a wonderful soup.
And your mother's like, good, I'm glad.
Sick of that fucking rooster. Mm. Nobody cried after with that rooster.
Oh, really?
That rooster was a mean as fucker.
Roosters come in two types. They come in types, you know, they can be mean and sometimes they can be okay. It just depends on how they're socialized and how they're raised. Now, if you ignore them all the time, they're not going to be nice. But
we were in the backyard every day. We would make a little salad for the rooster, mm-hmm. and we fed him. But, you know, my parents didn't want us playing with him because the rooster was literally like pecking us as children. You know, it's like, we were like running around and the rooster was flapping its wings and its claws were, it was terrifying.
Yeah. I would not have a rooster myself.
I know people in Brooklyn that have chickens,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, yeah, you might have chickens, but I have roosters because I believe in only eating fertilized eggs. Okay. So, yeah, if you have a rooster, make sure you have nice neighbor, or, you know, your neighbors know, because that shit is mm-hmm. going to be crowing at the crack of mm-hmm. dawn, and most people do not want to be woken up when the sun goes up.
I think here in the city of Chicago, you're allowed to have chickens now. I don't know if you're allowed to have roosters or not, because they do crow, but thankfully, none of our neighbors have any roosters or chickens.
I had a friend of mine who just got back from Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. and her friend is raising alpacas in her backyard in the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, llamas.
Llamas.
Because the fur, I guess, is very desirable, and you can sell it for a lot of money or something.
Oh, yeah. It's super warm. It's like, you know, it's better than sheep fur.
Now, Easter, for a lot of Americans, is this, you know, happy-go-lucky holiday. It's the candy cartel pushes all those bunny rabbits and peeps and all that stuff. But for a lot of folks around the world, Easter is chaos.
Well, it can be, you know, and growing up Catholic, they called it Holy Week, but as I was a kid, I always called it Hell Week, because like when we went to school, like we had to go to church every single day for like the whole week. It was like Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, then Good Friday, then Holy Saturday. I think our parents would even take us to church, and then we'd have to go on Sunday again for Easter. It was just like, oh my God. And it wasn't just, you know, just going to church. It was like the stations of the cross every day, and so you'd have to see Jesus get like killed every single day, and you're like, oh my God, is this ever gonna stop? You know, but you know, the weirdest tradition though I think that they have is in the Philippines, where they actually, you know, they do the stations of the cross. They've got this guy, he's carrying a cross, people are throwing stuff at him, other people are self-flagellating themselves trying to like atone for their sins, and then people get actual crucified. They get up on cross, they have nails put through their hands, and they get crucified because they want to atone for whatever kind of sin.
Are these people really like destroying their tendons and their hands for their faith?
I think that they're done in such a way that sometimes it can be that they just, it doesn't like, you know, I'm not sure what happens, but I think if you do it in such a way, you might not be able, you might not destroy your hands completely.
Folks, my left hand has been crucified by myself. This is another story. My sister, she is a big pothead, and she decided to make marijuana ginger snaps, which were really delicious, actually. And you couldn't even taste the marijuana. And she had this party, and she just put out a plate of ginger snap cookies. And I had like two of them, and I was like, and she's like, how many have you had? I'm like, two. And she's like, oh shit, you know? And I was high as a kite. And then later on, I was trying to make guacamole, and I took the knife, and I just, you know, trying to remove the avocado seed, and it went right through my middle, my hand. And I'll tell you, folks, if you crucify your left hand or right hand or whatever, your middle, one of your fingers is not going to work, because there's tendons that run from your finger to your wrist. And those, think of those as like the
drawstrings,
the drawstrings on a curtain, right? If those get nicked or cut or messed with in any way, your fingers can't move. And that's exactly what happened. I had to spend $7,000 to get that fixed. And my hand still is like Terminator Luke Skywalker hand or something. Like I could feel the
tendon. They put carbon fibers in there or something? What did they do?
They basically they cut it open and they polish the tendon so my fingers can move again. And I feel like, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know,
with
a fake hand sometimes. Yeah, it's really disconcerting. It's also the hand I masturbate with.
Well, the Catholic Church is like trying to get the Filipinos like not to do this, but yeah, they're really into it. I mean, there's crowds and crowds of people just flagellating themselves with these bamboo sticks. And afterwards, you know, people are there putting like alcohol on it. You can look online, you can see, just look up Filipinos and crucifixion. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's disturbing. It's like the Passion of the Christ, you know, that movie with Mel Gibson, and how it was like, it's just torture porn.
Now, I like more the way sort of people in you know, Scandinavia and in Germany celebrate Easter, which they see it more as their springtime Halloween.
Yeah.
In Germany, they're dressed up as witches. They have bonfires. They have elaborate firework rituals in Denmark and
And costumes. And Finland as well. Little girls dressed up as witches going door to door with like their little willow branches and asking for candy and getting candy from people.
And I think that's the way to do it. In some ways, like the Easter egg hunt is fun, but I think costumes always add an extra element. Now, our friend, he had a Easter bonnet decorating contest, and I thought that was fun. If you guys want to see pictures of it, it's on our Patreon page, patreon.com/feastoffun. And you can decide who won the Easter bonnet contest.
It's 12 gay men all sitting around with hot glue guns, flowers from the dollar store, eggs, and bonnets, and just gluing stuff together. I thought mine was prettiest, but, you know,
You're pretty with or without.
Did I win or did I not win?
I think you won in my head, but
you win my heart. Now, you know, when I was thinking about doing this podcast, I was also like, it came to my idea because a couple weeks ago I was searching. I'm like, you know, because I was on that reality TV show Alt for Norge, where 12 Americans of Norwegian descent to go back to Norway and compete for prizes and a chance to win their to meet their Norwegian family. I was like, I wonder what they do in Norway for Easter. And I discovered that they don't really do much in Norway for Easter. Most of the time people just go skiing or they go hiking or they go outside and just generally relax. But they're also obsessed with crime. And so every TV station has some kind of crime movie or story on. And even like the weeks leading up to Easter, on the milk packages, they'll have little murder mysteries and crime mysteries that people are obsessed with. And I guess this all started like back in 1923. There was a crime novel about some kind of like, you know, murder on some Bergen train line. And people it came out around Easter time. And so people became obsessed with that. And they were just like, this is a good thing. Let's just keep it going.
So it's like the Hallmark Channel, but instead of sentimentality and Christmas,
yeah,
it's murder.
You know, I'm not sure if it's just murder, but it's you know, it's all about crime. And what, you know, murder is the most fun crime, right?
I like those. I'm really addicted to those Hallmark Channel movies, and I don't get enough time to watch them. Lifetime movies, you know, with the wife who cared too much.
Oh.
Or the husband who never came back comes back this Christmas with a secret, and I don't think the Robinsons are ready for it yet.
Because he's a ghost.
Yeah, or something.
You know? They don't know it.
She's
They're
a witch
ghosts.
With secret powers, and she just met her match, a doctor, and things are about to get wicked on a whole new Good Witch springtime.
But I think that would be so weird if like Americans were like, we have one holiday and all we watch are like crime stuff.
Norwegians are a little bit strange. They're like your parents retired to some small town in Minnesota, and you find out about all these rituals that they do, and you're just a little bit scared to visit them because you're worried you're going to get roped into them.
They have a lot of quirky stuff. They are definitely kind of like the weird, quirky Scandinavians, for sure.
In Colombia, you know, a lot of Americans think of lamb as the Easter food because of the tying to Jesus.
Lamb, yeah.
Why is the lamb tied to Jesus again?
Because he's the good shepherd.
Okay, because a good leader leads from behind. Right. Mm-hmm. A good leader has humility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to take care of your community, service and humility are key components to leadership.
And what you'll see sometimes is you'll see Jesus, and he'll sometimes be carrying the lamb, or sometimes he'll have the lamb like around his shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And what that is a symbol of is that, you know, when you're a shepherd and you have these young lamb, the lamb would sometimes run away. And so what you would do is you would break the lamb's leg so it couldn't run away, and therefore you would carry it so it would become attached to you. So think about that one. They say that about the good shepherd.
Is that why you and I are still together?
Because of the broken legs?
You broke my legs, Mark.
You broke my leg. I couldn't run.
In Colombia.
What do they do in Misery? What are they, cobbling?
Oh, yeah. You love that movie. Called. In Colombia, iguanas, usually in soup form, are popular Easter delicacies. And they also enjoy rodents and turtles during the holiday season. I guess they have a problem with it because it's so popular that a lot of these animals are smuggled from rural areas to city, and then they start escaping, and they start having all these iguanas and rats and turtles running wild through the city.
Because they don't have time to kill them?
They don't have time to kill them. And just people are like, oh, that's my Easter dinner, running through the streets.
Well, and, you know, we have colored eggs here in the United States and all over the world. People color their eggs different colors. But in Greece, the only color of egg you'll see at Easter is red. And the red symbolizes the blood of Jesus.
And in Bermuda, they fly kites up into heaven.
Isn't that sweet? To symbolize Jesus' resurrection.
New Zealand, they hunt rabbits.
I think that's the scariest of them all.
But they're not like initially trying to hunt the Easter Bunny. They're just it's a rabbit hunting celebration that coincides with Easter.
It's the great Easter Bunny hunt is what
that's what they call it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess, you know, probably I'm guessing that rabbits may not be native to New Zealand. because I know that they weren't native to Australia and they became a huge problem there. They were brought in to like control something and they got loose and just have overrun it. And so now they got like 500 hunters will come out and they'll give like a cash prize of like 3,500 New Zealand dollars to the person who nabs the most rabbits, and they'll get over like 20,000 rabbits in one day.
Is it because the countryside's overrun with rabbits or something?
Yeah, there's tons of rabbits there. And so they're just like, you know, they can devastate the native wildlife because they're not supposed to be there. They were brought in.
But my all-time favorite Easter celebration is the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Every year in San Francisco, they have a hunky Jesus celebration. Mm-hmm. Last year, their winner was a Puerto Ricano, honey. Steve Underhill, he won. And they posted this year's winner, but they didn't say his name on Instagram. So maybe details are coming out. But the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the drag activist queen celebrating group dressed up as nuns with hilarious names, celebrates their 40-year anniversary this week.
Yeah, I guess they took to the Castro because there were like a bunch of Castro clones out there, the guys who all kind of looked alike, you know. They had the flannel shirts, the jeans, the mustache, but then there was also a bunch of like straight people that would come and harass the gays and shout Christian stuff, so they just kind of came out to shake things up and rabble rouse. And I guess originally they didn't wear all the face makeup, but they did just dress as nuns, and they kind of wanted to just throw a, you know, a monkey wrench into the system.
Well, that's what we used to do. When I was 18 years old, we used to dress up in drag and just hang around the city of Austin, Texas. And that was just for the fun of it, because we watched those John Waters movies and we would see Divine going down the street in drag and people would be like, "Oh, horrors, what is that?" You know? Yeah. And we're like, we wanted to do that, so freak out the squares. And for, you know, in for most of the history of drag in queer communities, that's kind of been its function. And so the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence first sort of started out as sort of an performance art collective, but it quickly evolved into some of the first fundraisers for AIDS people with AIDS. And later on, we're some of the first drag queens or performers urging people to use condoms early on in the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, it became a service organization. And Sister Roma, who's one of the most well-known of the sisters, joined, I think she said, in like 1989. And at that point in time, there was only five sisters left because, you know, San Francisco was just ravaged by HIV and AIDS.
And now it's being ravaged by Facebook.
And then, of course, she was one of the faces of being, you know, saying to Facebook, "Listen, you have to let people like us who are these personalities not use our legal name on Facebook, because this is how we interact in a social setting. You know, whether we're drag queens, we're trans people, whoever, you know, not everybody can or should use their real name."
Yeah, for a while we were forced to see John Mark Engel instead of Lady Bunny. Even Lady Bunny's Facebook profile still has the URL is John Mark Engel.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, for years you're like, you're not. And, you know, a lot of drag queens, some of them were able to overcome or pass the purge, you know, like Heclina. What was I don't want a dead name, but
Grecklina.
We called her Grecklina
because it was like something Greckle or Grackle.
Grackle.
Grackle. Grecklina. You can listen to that podcast.
Grecklina.
She kind of liked it in some ways.
She's very sadomasochistic with drag. I think drag is kind of a sadomasochistic art form. You know, you're pushing and pulling and twisting your body into doing things it really shouldn't be doing. And then you're slathering very heavy makeup on your face and stretching your face and your wig and pinning things and wearing comfortable shoes. Also, somebody can stick a dollar in your boobs.
I think the first time I met one of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is when we did our meet and greet at Mickey's in West Hollywood. Was that 2007? 2007. And they presented us with the key to the city of West Hollywood.
Hoorah, and, hoorah!
And so it was this large cardboard key, like covered in glitter.
And I was like, after they gave it to me, I said, "Hey, can I pawn this for some money?" They were like, hey, you're supposed to hold on to that.
Keep it. It's a souvenir. It,
you know, I don't know where that key is. Do we still have the key?
It's somewhere around here.
I love it. I cherish it. I hold it right next to my bed. I kiss it every night before going to bed. For the future, for the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, Sister Rema says they're turning their focus into a new set of issues like transgender and migrant rights, as well as anti-gay laws around the world, like the one recently passed in Brunei. But we also are thinking about the jeopardy of our own civil rights and our own safety in the United States as the pendulum swings back to the right.
Gotta keep that pendulum swinging the other way, you know?
They were thinking of counter-protesting the protesters. They're protesting Pete Buttigieg, who I guess they're you know, using the same tactics of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They're like, why not show up and be like, you know, sisters are doing it for themselves.
Yeah, some people showed up in Iowa to protest Pete Buttigieg, and somebody was dressed as Jesus and somebody was dressed as Satan. And, you know, trying to say that, you know, Pete's got the gay devil agenda.
What is what right winger going to say if Pete Buttigieg becomes president? He says the king of cocks. I was like, honey, that title belongs to Aaron Schock.
I don't know if he's getting laid or not.
He's getting some action. So everybody is not that shocked when they saw the former anti-gay. Well, he still is anti-gay Republican congressman.
Well, he's
former congressman.
Anti-gay.
Still is anti-gay.
Former Republican congressman, anti-gay. Right?
Say what you're going to say.
Well, you gotta have to get the you have to get all the adjectives right. Anti-gay.
Since he's a former congressman, still a Republican, still anti-gay, Aaron Schock has been allegedly spotted at Coachella, the music festival, making out with a guy and partying with other gay men. Now, you can clearly see Aaron Schock in this group photo with a bunch of good-looking guys. Mm-hmm. You would be swiping right if tall, white and muscular is your type of thing.
Now, the people in that photo said that we had no idea that was him. We had only been talking to him for a few minutes. Somebody took our picture. He's like, had we known it was him, we would have not talked to him at all.
Aaron Schock is a good looking guy. And, you know, if you didn't know who he was, you probably would suck his dick in a dark alley somewhere, you know, in
a
nightclub.
Have to be a dark alley.
Or a brightly lit beach.
You know.
Now, he resigned from Congress, I think in 2015, after weeks of media attention over his misuse of taxpayer funds, including decorating his office to look like Downton Abbey and using funds to take staff to a Katy Perry concert.
What a cunt. What a cunt.
He's been indicted for 24 counts of wire fraud, mail fraud, theft of government funds, making false statements, filing false reports, and 6 counts of false tax returns. This week, the Trump administration dropped all charges.
Mm-hmm. Was it this week or? Yeah.
This week, baby. Okay. Or last week, last you know. Week was, last week, a, this week. Yeah. But so to celebrate, he went to Coachella, got himself some drugs or something. Because he looks,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
He looks a little out of it.
He looks a little out of it. And then somebody filmed him with another guy. And they're like, and he's got his hands on the cookie jar, mama. Mm-hmm. He's hungry.
Well, and a lot of gay, self-respecting gay people wouldn't even show up over at Coachella because the guy who owns Coachella is giving a lot of money to anti-gay people.
So that's a perfect place for Aaron Schock to be, then.
It's a perfect place for him to come out.
Now, James Duke Mason, he is the child of Belinda Carlisle.
Former guest of this podcast.
He was not head over heels.
No, he wasn't.
His mother is known for the Go-Go's and the song Head Over Heels. That's
yes. And his lips are not sealed because he has something to say about it.
Now, on Facebook, James Duke Mason, Dukey, wrote, normally, I wouldn't comment on something like this, but I am mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore by these former Republican and anti-gay Congressman Aaron Schock partying with a group of gay men at Coachella. The fact is, he would think he could show his face, particularly when he has never renounced or apologized for his votes against gay marriage, gays in the military, and against anti-discrimination laws is astounding. My intention isn't to out him or target him personally, but simply point out his hypocrisy. I saw him at a recently gay social event in West Hollywood and shook his hand before I realized who the hell he was. He should really be ashamed of himself. And the gays who associate with him without calling him out should know better. It really is a disgrace.
Well, you know, I kind of feel bad for Aaron Schock's parents, even, because his dad's just like, no, Aaron's not gay. He's not gay. And we're like, honey, have you seen him in that gingham shirt and that belt? I'm like, your son's gay.
I think he's sexy. I just want to say, if I switch Republican, you know why. I'm not Democrat more. I like Republicans. Republicans.
I don't know. I just, you know, there's that one picture of him from the side. And he just looks like he's on some kind of weird drugs. And he looks sad. And he looks broken on the inside. And it's just like, I'm sorry. I just don't find that attractive. It's not appealing to me at all. I mean, the idea of, seducing a Republican or making him stray from his way or something like that, you know, it has an appeal. I get that. But it's just like, No. Now, you know, Greg Harris, who I believe is now Speaker of the House for here for the state of Illinois, he's been out for years and years and years, and he's also been a guest of this podcast, told I think maybe on this podcast or maybe just personally, Aaron would come to his office every now and then and be like, hey, I need your support on this bill, this kind of thing. He's like, oh, sure. And he's just like, well, you know, I'm hopefully I can count on your support for this kind of bill that would have some kind of, you know, part of the gay agenda. And he just said it was just like he just would just freeze, like he's so like he couldn't even be like he couldn't even talk about it.
Someone get a copy of Velvet Rage to Aaron Schock and read it stat. He can read, right?
I think so.
I hope he can read.
Now, it was also rumored that, you know, people said that he liked to get it on at the gym, so he's one of those kind of guys who likes to maybe compartmentalize his sexuality.
We met a gay couple that fell in love in the steam room of their gym. They married.
I think when they said the sauna, they meant something else. I think they meant the bathhouse.
No, they were saying that they were referring to the gym that we go to.
Okay.
They met each other. They didn't say they had sex with each other, but I'm guessing they probably did.
Okay.
That they met there and they fell in love.
Aww.
That's why I always tell people, it's like, you never know, you know, a stranger is just a friend you never met. You never know where things are going to take you.
The greatest opportunities in life are going to come from people you haven't even met yet.
Now, the president of Uganda, Uganda not going to like this.
No.
Yoweri Museveni has blamed outsiders for trying to convince the people of Uganda to perform oral sex on one another, and is issuing a public warning about it, saying if this goes on, all this oral sex, he's going to make it illegal. Because the mouth is for eating. And the poo-poo. And the moon, not the poo-poo.
That's somebody else. That's
somebody else, but he did say the mouth is for eating.
This guy's never had a blowjob, has he?
He's never had a blowjob. Poor guy.
And I still feel sorry for his wife or his partner, whoever he's been with. It's, you know, he's never gone down on them.
You look at him, you'd be like, I'm not going down on that. He says, one of them is what they call oral sex. The mouth is for eating, not for sex. We know the address of sex. We know where sex is. It is not in the mouth. It is in your pants. In your panties.
Did he say that?
Most of it. You push the mouth here, you can come back with worms, and they enter your stomach because this is the wrong address.
Is that really what he said? That's the quote. The wrong address?
The wrong address, honey.
What about the backside? Can you put it in the boot?
Not in the poo-poo. Not in the poo. it's funny, and it's all funny, but you know, people in Uganda are dying and being imprisoned, and it's terrible. But I do love that video of the guy going in the poo-poo,
eat the poo-poo,
and then in the middle of the video he's like, if there's any children, get them out of the room. And like, he's like, oh fuck, there's some kids watching this. Like, you know, any kid watching a grown man talk about eating the poo-poo, it's going to start laughing. Because kids think eating shit, especially adults eating shit, is hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious. Well, there's a new study published in the Journal for Royal Society Open Science from scientists at the University of Western Australia. And the study says that women's faces may hide infidelity better than men's. And so they showed men and women pictures of men and women, and ask them, like, did this person cheat? Is this person, infidel?
Oh, you got like caught with your hands in the cookie jar, Aaron Shockface. Mm-hmm.
And they said that we found an above chance accuracy in judgments of unfaithfulness from same sex faces in men, but not women. Mm. Conversely, we found above chance accuracy for opposite sex faces in women, but not men. So women could see if a man was cheating better than men could see. And the reason why they thought like the most men were cheating is if they looked more masculine, because they say that like, you know, a more masculine face has more testosterone in it, and therefore he's going to cheat more. And that, you know, if a guy looked kind of sad and dopey, then he probably didn't cheat, you know. But if he had any other kind of look on his face, then they thought he was unfaithful.
What kind of study is this? It's like people just need to communicate better.
They're trying to see like how humans communicate, and that's exactly why they're doing this kind of study. Can you look at somebody and tell if they're being unfaithful?
But you know, this is going to be used like they're going to use artificial intelligence and be like, Trump, you caught, you know, cheating.
And they think that like there might be like a, you know, a socio-evolutionary pattern to this, because they think like you could look at like a potential cheating partner of the opposite sex and know like this person is not going to be able, you know, I'm not going to be able to trust this person.
Do you like eating the poo-poo or do you not? Look at me. Look at me. I am the captain now of eating the poo-poo.
And so they act, you know, ask these women to act like have different facial expressions and stuff. And they discover that when female models are concerned, it seems that women who express fear or are surprised are perceived as more likely to be unfaithful compared to women expressing other facial effects. So you can have like a different kind of look is more susceptible of you being unfaithful.
So ladies are better at being shady.
Yes, ladies can hide it better, so they think. But you can also, ladies are also better at picking it up too.
Oh, they're catching on.
Yeah,
they're so like, they don't look at me.
They're both ways.
Let me smell your dick. Don't treat me like a fool, cause that ain't cool. Something's going on. Can I smell your dick? That's an actual song, folks.
Yes, it is. I know. That was internet famous.
It was internet famous. Yeah, mm-hmm. you can Google that and see, listen, and watch.
So,
it.
What did you think of RuPaul's Drag Race's Dr. Silky Ganache paying tribute to our beautiful T.S. Madison, who was on our latest episode of Cooking with Drag Queens?
Well, I have to say, you know, Dr. Silky Ganache has gotten tenure in my heart and is forever going to be professor of hot bitchuology, honey, because she is fantastic.
Because she has a PhD. Now, that is piled high and deep. Now, there are some drag queens that are very, very upset. Because they have doctorates.
And I have a real PhD, and you just have a fake one.
And so they're very upset because they've worked very hard for their title of being a doctor. And here RuPaul is just casually calling
Dr. Ganache.
Dr. Ganache. And it's like, girl, you are a drag queen. Were you born heir to a fucking throne? No. You can use any goddamn... Is Lady Bunny a lady? Do you think Lady Diana Spencer was worried about drag queens being called ladies?
Hell no.
No. No, no, no.
Yeah, for the record, I am a drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
I am not royalty.
No.
But I do have a master's degree.
Yes.
In fine art.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see me be like, you can't say that.
Don't call yourself master. All these people who are in master-slave relationships, you can't call yourself, you don't have a master's, you know. And, you know, but that kind of thinking, though, betrays.
And when the TV show Bachelor, anybody with an undergraduate degree is like,
upset. I think that betrays, because the thing is that, you know, studies have shown that people who really, in their heart, hold conservative values really hate it when somebody else enjoys something that they have.
This is the concept of regression, right? I think it's really better to sort things out in the modern world we live in, to stop thinking things as Republican or Democrat, neoliberal, conservative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's better to think of things as regressive or progressive.
Okay.
Meaning, are they for the enrichment of humanity? Are they building communities? Are they bringing people together? Are they ensuring a future for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they not?
Yeah.
And regressive viewpoints are feelings that we all have to some degree or another. And these are the three components of it.
Okay.
Are you a jerk or not?
That's one.
So this is, take our quiz and find out.
Okay.
Okay. Do you feel slighted, do you feel angry or mad when you see somebody having the same thing that you have?
Mm.
Or someone pretending to have something that you have?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you see somebody saying like they have a doctorate degree, mm-hmm. and you have a doctorate degree, are you mad that they're mm-hmm. lying or stretching the mm-hmm. truth or actually even have one? If somebody wins a medal at some award, mm-hmm. if they win a People's Choice Podcast Award,
yeah.
do you get mad because you have five of them?
Yes.
And you don't want to see anybody else get
well,
them?
Well, I'm not mad because that podcast award is actually called the Feast of Fun Best LGBT Podcast Award.
Now. God damn right! You so got that right!
I'm happy to anybody who actually wins it. And if you say, listen, I just won the Feast of Fun Best LGBT Podcast Award, I will tweet about it. I will tell people about it. But when you tell people you just won the Best GLBT Podcast Award, I ain't saying shit.
That's right. But so anyways, are you mad when other people have the same thing you have? Mm-hmm. Does it diminish the value of your own thing? Mm-hmm. If you have a car that you're very proud of and you mm-hmm. worked really hard and you see your neighbor has the same car, do you get mad about that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like slighted? Then you might be a regressive and you have to get therapy. You have to talk about it. You have to sort that out. That's one.
Okay.
So other people's value is diminished in your own value. The second one, do you love to boss people around? Do you love to tell other people what to do? Mm. Do you like to sit in front of a microphone and say, this week on my podcast, I'm going to tell you guys what to think, what to do, blah, 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 blah. You know, I love managing because managing means I get to be the boss and tell other people what to do, do. You know, they're the ones who are going outside and telling their neighbors what to do with their garbage or whether that might be a regressive viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You have to step back and say, you know, I need to have a more conversational approach. Leadership is a service. It's humility. You lead from the back, not from the front. And the third thing is, are you terrified of shit?
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared of foreigners? Are you scared of what other people may do? Do you live in a world where someone's always out to get you? Even if it's, you know, even if it's very justified, still the fact that you live in constant fear of other people attacking you or hurting you is going to make you do mm-hmm. things that are not for the betterment of humanity.
Mm.
So it's three things: living in fear, liking to be a very aggressive, autocratic person, a pushy person, and not valuing yourself because you see other people having the same things as you do, makes you a regressive. And so those kind of qualities, whether it's, you know, a Democrat or Republican, any politician, anybody, you know, that they're going to share those things in common. Mm-hmm. And so we have to start talking about them in that way in order to overcome them. And that's why we need to fight for universal health care. That's why we need to fight for basic income.
So you're saying we have to fight for universal health care so that Silky Ganache can become a real doctor.
Yes. I wouldn't want her to perform surgery on me.
Well, she certainly can cut a bitch.
But she can cut a bitch, yes.
We know that.
And I think she's going to win it. I'm just saying it right now. I don't know anything. And people are like, how did you know that she was going to T.S. Madison? They told you, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, listen, we taped that episode with T.S. Madison months before Silky Ganache even got on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, as soon as I don't even think our Cooking with Drag Queens Kickstarter had even finished.
No. So I actually met and talked to Silky Ganache about a month before she got on Drag Race
mm-hmm.
at her pizza parlor.
No, but I'm saying when we did our fundraiser for Cooking with Drag Queens, I don't even think it was finished. We had confidence that we were going to make it, and that's when we recorded the episode with T.S. Madison.
Correct.
Yeah. So long before any of this was even decided.
Yeah. So it was the fall of 2017 mm-hmm. and we taped that thing with T.S. Madison. T.S. Madison had completely forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all kinds of problems with this episode, but it's now up. You can watch it on your YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun. And then all of a sudden, you know, serendipity, T.S. Madison is the featured celebrity on Snatch Game this mm-hmm. week.
And she did, you know,
what'd you think about it?
I think she did a pretty good job. You know, she got the 22 inches. She got the 9 inches. She got, is this thing on? Is this bitch recording? She kind of screwed that up a little bit, didn't she? But there's some variation to what T.S. Madison says.
You know, you can't imitate T.S. You know, Madison.
I would have really liked it if she had imitated her Vine video and lifted up her pants and swung her dick. Because that's how initially she got her big fame.
That would have been she probably did that, and they just edited it out.
They probably did do that, you know.
I'd like to ask, Silky Ganache is a fan of Cooking with Drag Queens.
Well, come we cook, bitch.
And I'm like, girl.
If it's good enough for T.S. Madison.
It's good enough for you. That's right. We're waiting for you, honey. Mm-hmm. The kitchen is open. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to stir fry for your life?
I want
to
make some Ruby Ganache.
What's Ruby Ganache?
Well, you know, we have, you know what chocolate ganache is, right? You know, it's a lovely, like, decadent, full-flavored, chocolatey dessert, you know, usually a coating you put over a cake and stuff like that. And now we have four kinds of chocolate. We have white chocolate, we've got milk chocolate, we've got black chocolate, and now we have a brand new one, and a ruby.
It's expensive stuff, and I don't think it tastes any... It's just white chocolate with pink color in it.
It's more than that.
It does feel like very much like a white chocolate thing going on.
It has the feel of dark chocolate.
You like it.
I do like it. I like it very much.
You think it's delicious.
It's not my favorite chocolate.
I never see you talking about it or eating.
I bought it, and I ate it all.
I know you did.
And I gave some to some friends for Valentine's
Day. You got some white chocolate with crumbs of Oreo cookies in it, and you're, like, complaining about that.
They're okay. I won runner-up, okay? I got the cookies and cream one. But, you know, I think Silky did a good job, and I'm very happy for her. And, you know, RuPaul did say she's a star. And when RuPaul says that somebody's a star, that means she is the front runner. And she could very well win it. And all of these people who are, they're just really hating on Silky.
Chicago drag queens hate Silky Ganache because they're super jealous of her. Mm. Shame on you girls. Mm-hmm. Let her celebrate her. Let her, what is it?
She's already feel her out. Oats. She already moved out of town.
She's gone.
Like, she's like, bye-bye.
Bitch, bye. Girl, bye. I'm out of here, honey. Mm-hmm. You hoes can fight over crackers. I'm gonna be moving to Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm.
And she might be the first plus size girl to win.
The thick and juicy thick season, and juicy. Honey. I don't know. Part of it is the fun thing about those competition shows is you never really know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, you never know.
And it could all go to Evie Oddly. Mm. Let's get real. It's not going to be Evie Oddly.
It all could be
Evie Oddly. I love Evie Oddly. Mm-hmm. She's the kind of queen I identify with a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to make any friends by telling it like it is, but she's still going to speak her mind. Mm-hmm. And
you know, she seems like a completely rational kind of person, you know, and like the people's reaction to like the things she's saying, they're just like, I could say one thing to you and say something. I could be more complex than this. Like, no, you can't. You have to be this way and only this way. And I see you this way and you can't change from that. And we can never deviate from that. And it's like, you know, that says more about them than anybody else.
And scientists just found a 22 million year old fossil of a giant carnivore.
Ooh.
Sitting in a museum drawer in Kenya.
Oh, wow.
So it hadn't been understood, this fossil.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's I guess, several times larger than a modern lion. And it's neither related to the lion or a bear, but it's kind of like it looks like a hybrid of both. But the best name about it is...
What?
Hyena don't... No, don't.
What?
Hyena no, don't.
Hyena, no, don't.
Oh, no, she didn't. Yeah, basically, it's like the name of the predators. Hyena, don't, no, don't. And it was one of the largest predators ever to walk the surface of the earth.
Oh, my God. I want to see a picture of it.
It's cute. It looks like it looks like a cartoon lion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some scientists researchers that are very upset because a guy had a baby T-Rex fossil that he had.
And he ate it.
No. And he lent it to a museum, and they put it up in the museum for a while, and then, you know, he took it back, and then he put it on eBay and listed it for, like, $3 million. And they think that, you know, it's like they don't want to see fossils being traded like that, and that they don't think that that's fair. And they asked, you know, the guy put in his eBay listing that it was featured at this museum, and the museum is like, listen, you cannot use our name to sell this item. And so he did take it down. So if you want to buy a T-Rex, $3 million.
Get shopping, honey. Well, we should do a crowdfunding for it.
What would I do with a baby T-Rex?
What do you do with a mannequin that's sitting here in the living room? Anita Smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
No, Alita. Alita Smorgasbord, yes, is her name. Alita. Sorry, Alita.
Alita horse to water.
But you can't make her drink. People are always like, that looks... every time somebody sees her, they all compare... They're like, it looks like Devon Green. She looks like Valentina.
Mm.
You're tall, you're skinny. I thought
that was a real person.
Yeah, and I was like, it's just a mannequin with big tits. You can come and visit us.
Yes, come visit us.
If you want to come to our studio and watch us taping a podcast, you can certainly do so.
Yeah.
Message us, mail@feastoffun.com for details. Mm-hmm. And, of course, follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. We do not consider you a real fan of the show if you are not following us and supporting us on Patreon, honey, just for $1. Mm-hmm. And I know you got a dollar.
You have a dollar.
$12 makes a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Or $100 makes $100.
And it's a great way to ensure the future of this podcast. It's really, you have to, when you do these kinds of things, they are a labor of love, but you really have to look at the financial stability of it over the years. And the best way to do it is to just come together and crowdfund this thing. Advertising is hard to come by. Absolutely, we'll accept it. But we are community supported and we are able to tell stories of people in our community, the artists, the writers, the comedians, the drag queens, the people that you know and love, because of the support of people like you. And you can do that at patreon.com/feastoffun, or you can also do that at feastoffun.com/plus, where you can become a plus member of Feast of Fun, and you can access all our archives of our 15 seasons of podcasting. Or maybe you'd like to make a one-time donation, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. Or, just Venmo. Venmo, Feast of Fun.
That's right. How much is Feast of Fun worth it to you? A man in Grand Rapids is suing his parents after a nasty divorce. Mm-hmm. He moved in with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved out 10 months later because he was fuming mad because his parents threw out 12 boxes of pornographic films and magazines. His parents admit they dumped the porn, which included titles as Frisky Business and Big Bad Grannies.
And he said it was valued at like $29,000. And his parents are like, you're suing us? We did you a favor. Get a life. Now, Pornhub has stepped forward and said, hey, if you drop the lawsuit, we will give you free porn. Isn't that sweet?
But why are you suing your parents? It's like you're staying in their house.
Because they threw out his porn. He's mad. He's like, that's his porn. He spent money on that porn.
Now, if your parents threw away like a piece of jewelry or a car that's also valuable, like,
would you sue them?
Could you sue them? I don't think you can.
Why not?
They're your parents.
You can sue your parents. You can sue anybody for anything.
I guess
my property, you threw it out.
I'm but you're living with them though.
But
you know, so it's like you're living rent free. So in a sense, you're a guest in their house.
Well, that's for the judge to decide.
Yeah. Judge Judy. I'm looking forward to that episode.
Get on it. We've got some great shows for you this week. We're going to talk to Karen from Finance, one of your favorite drag queens from Down Under. And we're also talking to your other favorite drag queen, Peaches Christ.
Ooh, what's Peaches going to talk about?
We're going to talk about
murder.
I'm not gonna,
once again.
I'm not going to tell you the story, but it's the
it's killing. Coming.
It's coming.
Deadly murder. Good.
Deadly.
Yeah, I've been watching clips all over the internet. I guess Ginger Minj. And the blonde Brooklyn Heights
and Raja,
along with Peaches, are doing the First Wives Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's raving how fantastic it was.
Oh, hopefully they'll bring it to Chicago.
Yeah. Girl, come to town. We're waiting for you.
Just don't do it at the patio theater when it's minus 30 degrees outside. Thank you.
You're the one who recommended the place.
I recommended that to them many years ago.
Oh, in warmer months.
And warmer months. And also, too, I assumed it was like they were going to show the movie afterwards or something. That's, I like theater. So I say, like, listen, this is a theater here. There's a theater here and stuff, but they didn't show the movie, so they don't have to do it in a goddamn movie theater.
They could do it anywhere.
They could do it anywhere.
Yeah, you could do it at the Athenaeum.
You could do it at all sorts of places.
At the Goodman Theater. At Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
I think Steppenwolf should bring Peaches Christ.
Absolutely. Without
and they'd be like, horrors. Horrors. You will not be winning a Jeff Award for that. Just saying.
Just kidding. Anyway, you guys, we'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Happy Easter. Enjoy the eggs.
Fondle the eggs.
Eggs.